Podcast Network Asia.
Hi, everybody. I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to
Family Unboxed,
where we talk about everything family, from the light stuff, the fun stuff, to even the heavy and controversial stuff. Because our desire is to encourage families and see the world changed
one family at a time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of
Family Unboxed.
And today, we'll take a different take. As we wrap up the year is when we're actually putting this podcast together. We are, you know, being asked to speak on different topics. And one of the things that we feel is very important for families, which we haven't really tackled in depth, has to do with crisis or challenge. And this is a clear, strong theme throughout the year 2020, and even as we wrap up this year and share this particular podcast episode. So, you know, we want to be able to frame and give perspective on how to be able to address crisis of whatever sort. Because if we really think about it, whether we're in a pandemic or not, there will be crisis. And if you are from the Philippines or have any information about what's happening in the Philippines, you will see that 2020 was one of the most challenging in terms of major crisis. Not only did we share in the challenges of the pandemic brought about by COVID-19, but we also had an eruption of a Taal volcano early in the year. And then we had several storms, two of which really hit us hard and hit our capital, Manila, quite hard, also causing flooding, which reminded us, or some will even say were worse than a major flooding that happened back in about 2009. So we've had our fair share of national crisis, global crisis, even citywide crisis, where they would say that we were in a state of emergency because we are in one of the cities that actually was hit pretty badly during these typhoons. So there is crisis outside, but we realize that there's also crisis inside, in homes. And we've also been hearing about this in the various data that we've been receiving and even stories about fathers abusing the kids and all sorts of nasty things happening in the homes because of the stress from outside that is leaking inside. So this crisis is clearly something that is real to many of us. But even outside of the pandemic or these calamities, if you will, every person is going through a crisis. There are family challenges that have been happening even before this 2020, and there will be those that will continue to happen even outside of this pandemic. Even as the protocols will change and the vaccine is coming out, you know, we will continue to experience crisis. So how do we respond? What do we do? We want to give five different perspectives or five different areas to focus on, because this is obviously a broad topic. But hopefully these perspectives or these five tips or principles will help us process crisis better as a family. Let's start with the first. You know, whenever we face challenges, crisis of whatever sort, the first thing that really is helpful is maybe inspired by a visual, if you will, that was given by Anthony Pangilinan. I remember hearing from him at a talk way back where he asked, what is the number one weapon of a lion trainer? And I want you to imagine a lion in these circuses or carnivals where they're trying to obviously keep the lions still because these are wild animals, much more powerful than the trainer. And, you know, I was asking myself, is it the whip? Is it, you know, a special whistle? Is it some special technique? And he said that it was actually a stool, a wooden stool that had four legs. So imagine a wooden stool. And maybe if you remember any movie or any snippets in your brain, that apparently is the number one weapon of a lion trainer. And so the natural question is, how or why is that the number one weapon of a lion trainer, given that it's just a wooden stool, clearly inferior to the power and the strength of a lion? So he explained and he goes, the reason why is because the lion, when it sees the four different points of the stool as the lion trainer shows it to the lion, they do not know which one to attack. And as a result, they're instead almost paralyzed, if you will, and they just step back and are not able to pounce, because they do not know which to attack. And so that is the first principle we want to share in areas of crisis or challenges. I think what happens to many of us, just like the lion, is we do not know which to attack because it's just shocking. You know, it's this so many things going through our mind and maybe our hearts and the feelings. So the principle is you want to ask now, what areas can I control? That will help you start a plan of attack, if you will, how to go about dealing with crisis. Focus on the areas that you can. Many times we feel overwhelmed, maybe just like that lion, because we look at many different factors, many different things, when the reality is there's many factors that we cannot control. So look at the area that you can, and that should help you move forward, or should help us move forward in dealing with any crisis. For example, in this area of the pandemic, when it first hit, so many things really are within our, outside of our control, what's happening to the global economy, the protocols being set by the government. We can't really control that unless, of course, you're listening right now and you're part of the IATF or any of these government agencies that can impose these sanctions. Most of us cannot. So instead of stressing about these things and worrying about these things, we want to now start asking, okay, what can we control? So we're forced to be at home. You know, the economy is uncertain. What can we control? And if you've heard other podcasts or other talks that we've given, you know, we look at the areas like in our finances. Are we cutting back on unnecessary expenses? Are we finding ways to pivot the businesses that we have or our own skills so that we can repurpose ourselves as an asset? That's been a big word we talked about. So, you know, again, the focal point through any crisis should start off with what can I control? And as we look at this area of control, the beautiful thing about being able to focus on what you control is you're now able to see what you can't. And there is a necessary principle also in the area that you can't so that you don't get as stressed. And that is the area of surrender. So, honey, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. So we're not talking about the kind of surrender that says, fine, I give up and, you know, I can't do anything anyway. So I'm going to take my life or I'm just going to, you know, sink into behavior or habits that are actually unhelpful and will result in more issues in a person's life. For example, sometimes people say, you know, forget it. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to resort to vices. And so that's not the kind of surrender we're talking about. You know, I remember a crisis that I've gone through several crises, and the most recent one was my operation about 2 years ago, where I had to go through major operation to remove an endometrial cyst in my body. And it was supposed to be a super simple operation. However, it turned out to be an 8-hour operation where I almost lost my life.
10 hours, actually.
So when I came out of that, I had no idea everything that transpired in the operating room. But soon after, I found out that I had a total hysterectomy, so uterus, ovaries, cervix. And then I had part of my intestines cut and resectioned. And then I also had part of my rectum removed. And then my appendix as well. So when I found all of this out, like, I started to really spiral into, you know, dark thoughts and deal with this personal crisis of depression and just questioning, you know, why did this happen and how could this have happened? And thinking about maybe all the decisions that I made that could have contributed somehow to what happened to me, to the endometriosis, and having regrets. And I just was spiraling downward. And besides that, I was dealing with all the hormonal changes of being forced into early menopause. And on top of that, I also had a newborn baby that I had to take care of. And I also had 5 other kids that I had to homeschool. So this on top of all the other things that Edric and I are committed to. And it was just so overwhelming. And like Edric was talking about at the beginning, where you don't know what to focus on because you see all those spokes kind of being thrown at you. I felt so lost. And I felt like so much had been taken away from me. And I didn't know how to move forward. And I couldn't even imagine what the future was going to be like, because here I was recovering in so much pain, physical and emotional. And even spiritual, because I was dealing with questions about, you know, does God really love me? Does he really care about what's happening to me? Why did he allow it? And so all those things, right, I was wrestling with. And I remember how just unhappy and sad I was almost every day, crying for just sometimes maybe not even any reason, it seemed like, but just because I was overwhelmed by the emotions. And I had to get to a point, like several months down the road in my recovery where I just knelt beside my bed and I was in tears and I was, you know, having a conversation with God. And I said, Lord, you know, I really surrender. I surrender to you and I don't understand and I don't know what the future is going to be like. Because apparently if you're opened up for abdominal surgery of any kind, the chances of you having to need surgery eventually for more adhesions is so high. And that's what kept on, you know, going through my mind. And I was having digestive issues. And so I just felt like, wow, I didn't have to just deal with the operation itself, but I have to deal with the long-term extended consequences. And I'm not sure when they will end or what's going to happen to me in the future. And that fear and anxiety coupled with the sadness was something I really needed to surrender to the Lord. And the only reason why I was able to surrender is because I had to anchor my mind on certain truths that I've believed all my life and I've known from the Word of God. And namely, these are, number one, that God is a good God and that He loves me and circumstances will not change His character. And I know this, and we should know this because He sent His own Son to die for us and to give us salvation. So if He sacrificed that much for us, then He must truly love us. And so I had to choose to believe that again. You know, Lord, I know You're good, and I do know that You love me. And then second, that He's sovereign. That's the other truth, that He is an omnipowerful, omniscient God who knows all things. Therefore, nothing that happens in our lives is accidental or without good reason. In fact, there's a Bible verse in Romans 8:28 that says, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And I memorized this as a younger person because I also went through another crisis where I was a victim of rape. And so all throughout my life, I've had to cling on to this promise and not allow circumstances to dictate what I believe about God or to change the truths that are found in His Word and that I've seen, you know, throughout the rest of my life. And it's not just the crisis moments that we should use to determine what is true, but we should remember all the truths that have already carried us throughout life. And so I had to remember those things. And as I remembered those things, I remembered His sovereignty. I remembered His goodness. I remembered that He is indeed a loving God. Then I chose to surrender. So when I was talking about this word surrender, it's not surrendering to bad habits or surrendering to fatalism or surrendering to an I don't care attitude or whatever, bahala na. It's surrendering to God, who we know is loving, is good, is sovereign enough to cause everything to work together for good, who has a plan for our lives, even though we can't see it from our microscopic perspective at the moment. And so as I chose to do that, you know, God convicted me, you know, what's the ultimate measure of surrender? Is if you can thank the Lord for everything that's happening and everything that hasn't yet happened and all that He's going to do in the future for your life. And so that's what I did. I knelt before my bed and I said, God, I surrender. And I choose to thank You for what the future holds, even if I don't understand, even if I don't see, even if I don't know yet. And I will choose to believe that You have the best plans for me. And as I did that, that really started me on a journey of healing, spiritually, emotionally. So a lot of the anxieties and the worry that I would feel, it's not that they all went away, but I began to be able to live each day understanding the concept or that principle that God has in His Word where He says, when you pray to the Lord, you pray, give us our daily bread. And before I didn't understand that because I'd always been healthy, I'd always been fit. I never had problems with my digestion, with my health. In fact, maybe in a way, being healthy and having things all together could have been a source of pride. And so being in this situation where I was humbled, even with what I didn't have anymore, physically speaking, what I had to deal with and confront on a daily basis, the things that were taken from me, I had to say, okay, you know, that idea, it's not an idea, actually, it's a truth. Give us this day our daily bread because God will give it. But fine, all of a sudden, that was so real to me that I had to live each day confronting those anxieties and those fears and the sadness and the loss and say, okay, Lord, I know that you will give me enough to get through this day. And if I can get through today, then tomorrow you'll also give me enough to get through that day. And I don't have to imagine necessarily like years and years down the road and what's going to happen to my body, how it's going to deteriorate. I don't have to fixate on those things because you've given me enough for today and you're going to get me through today. And so I thank you. I thank you for today and for what I don't understand and don't see yet and can't control. I'm thanking you in advance that you are going to bless me and you are going to take care of me and your presence will never leave me. And so that's the kind of surrender that Edric and I are talking about. It's surrendering to the greater reality, the greater truths that should anchor us, that there is a God who loves us, who is good, who has the best plans for us, who's sovereign enough to make everything in our lives, even the bad things, even our wrong choices, turn out for our good.
Thanks, honey. You know, I feel like we should end the podcast right now because it's such a rich, you know, sharing that you gave and some perspective. But we're going to take a really quick break so you guys can check out these other shows from Podcast Network Asia. And we'll be right back.
Hey there. I hope you're all doing well today. My name is Kara. And just dropping by to let you know that I, too, have my own podcast. It's called After 30 with Kara Erigel. I talk about love, fear, relationships, career, sex, food, money, books, and how life is so much different and oddly the same after 30. So when you're done listening to this episode, go ahead and check out mine. Again, it's After 30 with Kara Erigel, available wherever you get your podcasts. See you there.
So we are talking about crisis 101 or how you can deal with crisis as a family or as individual family members. And we started off by sharing that we wanted to unpack five things or unbox five things. The first one was control. And my wife, Joy, just shared about surrender and how that's such an important part. So if we want to be able to move forward in the area of crisis or any challenge that we're facing, we want to first start and look at what can we control. And as we focus on these areas of control and now deal with them, then the areas we can't, as Joy articulated so well, we need to surrender. And she unpacked, even in her own sharing of the crisis she dealt with, that of course became a crisis we dealt with as a family, that as of this recording of the podcast is actually about, 2 years old now? It's around this time. So it is very still fresh in our minds, but has been a powerful moment for Joy and for us as a married couple and for us as a family. The next part that we encourage you to look at in crisis would be what Joy was literally latching onto, which are anchors. And when we look at anchors in our lives, whether for ourselves as individuals or for us as a married couple or for us as a family, for you guys, you want to apply this, you know, age-old saying that says, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, meaning you really want to make sure that on a going basis, you're able to build truth anchors or things that you can hold on to so that when these challenges happen, you're held together. And as another visual, I remember one of my really good friends who's a businessman who had some businesses in Tacloban during one of those major storms, Yolanda, I believe it was, in the Philippines, which was one of the strongest to ever hit land in the Philippines, if I remember my data correctly. It hit Tacloban very badly. And he had businesses there. And when he was given some reports, and one of them was an aerial photo or a photo from the top, it showed a very interesting picture for me. I saw this photo that was by the dock or by the waterside and showed a little bit of the land. And there was this circular path of destruction. So imagine a circle and everything there was swept out. So destroyed facilities, destroyed forestation, right? And what was interesting is it was a little bit, you know, the circle was obviously through part through the land and part through the water. And the reason why it looked like that is because at the center of it was an anchor that was holding a large ship. So what had happened during the storm is the ship was swept by the storm, but because the anchor held it so strongly, instead of the ship floating out or moving into land, it just followed a circular path of destruction, which of course was tragic to see that there was destruction by that ship. But what was impressive, which is what I took home from that visual, was the strength of that anchor that held this ship even through the strongest storm. And that is a powerful reminder for us that what will help us get through any challenge or any storm, if you will be the anchors which we choose to build in our lives. And there are many, you know, if we just look at the world around us, there are many things. It could be relationships, it could be money, it could be self-will, positivity, you know, many of the things that people will look to as anchors or, you know, perspective or hope. But the reason why we wanted to unpack this or unbox this further is, could it be possible that many of these things that we try will not actually last? Because depending on the type of storm, these things can be uprooted and the anchors will not really hold. What we've seen and we have continued to talk about through our podcast, because we've experienced it and seen it in many lives, and because it actually is true, is that the only anchor that can really hold us together is Jesus. So the faith that we have in Him, which is what Joy talked about earlier, have been the truths, or has been the primary central truth that has helped us weather storms and has helped countless others weather storms and challenges in their life. You know, we like to say as Christians that our life will never be storm-free, but it can be storm-proof. Just like that ship, you know, we can remain intact and anchored well because the anchor is somebody who is tried and tested. And I love how Joy was talking about the names of God. And just as a fresh reminder to us, you know, he promises to be that anchor. He promises to keep us through it. He doesn't promise that there won't be problems or trials, but he promises to take us through it. He is a good God. He is sovereign, so he has all the power, right? He is loving and he is all-knowing. So if you take any one of these things apart from the others, it won't really make sense. For example, if you're going through a crisis and you know that God is all good or Jesus is all good, but he doesn't have the power to help you, then it really won't comfort you. Or if you know that he is all good and, you know, he wants what is good and he is his power, but he doesn't love you, doesn't really care about you, that's not going to help you either. Or if you know that he wants what is good and he's got power and he loves you, but he doesn't really know what's going to happen, it's not certain, then it's not going to give you any comfort either. So it's this wonderful combination of these attributes, if you will, or the characters of God, of Jesus, that can become truths that we hold on to. And, you know, as we hold on to these things, once again, they will help take us through the times that are difficult. And maybe some of you are going through some major crisis right now and you're listening to this and you're not feeling it, which is completely acceptable and real, right? The reality is when we go through crisis or challenges, our emotions will swing in so many different directions, which is why as we look at these truth anchors, we need to remind ourselves that in life, there is a principle which we have talked about in the other podcast, which is called motion before emotion. Oftentimes, when crisis happens and we draw from these anchors, they will be thoughts or things that we know in our minds. They might not resonate immediately in our hearts, and we might, you know, there might be that tug of war between how we feel and what we know. But we encourage you guys that when you go through these crises, you do what you know is right first, motion, and then the emotion will follow. So I know that I should not give up hope. I know that I should not fall into despair and depression and want to take my life because of this crisis. I'm going to take it a step at a time, controlling what I can and hanging on to these truth anchors that because I know God, and this of course will be the challenge for those listening now. If you do not know God, if you do not have Jesus in your life, then you will not understand these truth anchors we're talking about. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He says that I have good plans for you, you know. And so there's so many promises that he has given that we can hold on to. And in these moments, there might be times when that's all you've got, is you hang on to those truth anchors and then you carry on controlling what you can. And you know, the beautiful thing about it, you know, even as I look at my wife, she's getting emotional earlier and I looked at her, you know, and I remember that moment. But, you know, I look at her now and what God has been able to unpack and unbox and unleash in her life. She has been able to encourage many others who have gone through similar situations. And by the way that she processed it, the way that she moved forward, even if it was a very dark and difficult time for her as a crisis or challenge for us, you know, even our kids, we look back and it has become one of the major crises that we've experienced as a family, because I was there. And to be honest, it was one of my darkest moments. I did not know how to process the reality. You know, and Joy was going through the whole surgery, but I was waiting and the doctors would come out and show me the different body parts that they were cutting and they were asking me to sign waivers. And I really felt like I was in a, you know, for those who were part of this generation, a Twilight Zone moment, parang surreal. It really wasn't happening, you know, and I had to be able to deal with this same thing I'm sharing also. I said, you know, God, what if you take my wife? I don't know if I'm ready for this. You know, and all these thoughts that were racing through my mind and heart, you know, brought me to a very lonely place, because who else could empathize? Who else could understand this? And quite frankly, who else could be in the waiting room that I could have been in apart from my eldest son? And so, you know, I realized that the way we process these things, these truths and these anchors will also be part of the journey. And so how my wife processed it, how she responded, how she bounced back has become such a powerful story for our family and for us and for all of our kids as we look back and see that. And so even if it was a dark, dark time, we're able to look back with smiles. And my wife has been through other major challenges and crises, which, you know, I was not a part of. There is a book she's written, for those who do not know, called When a Good God Allows Rape. It is found even on Amazon, right? So if you want to look through that, that is also a book that shares her journey when she was 15 and how her family also processed that major tragedy and that crisis in their lives. And it's the same sort of tools that we're unpacking with you guys right now. So the third part, which lends itself very naturally, is perspective. If we've looked at the area of control, what can we control? Focus on what you can. We've looked at anchors and making sure that on a going basis, we build this so that when crisis happens, then we have that to hold on to. And if you're going through a crisis right now, now is the time to also build those anchors so that you will be held together by the storm and you can weather it and you can follow the principle of motion before emotion.
Yeah, I need to add that we didn't get to cover it as much at the beginning. We talked about control, but it's not just about surrender, right? So the surrendering part is us giving to the Lord and thanking Him for the things that are outside of our control. But the control part, the things that are within our control, would be, as Edric's talking about, you know, choosing to anchor our minds on certain truths, choosing to have the right perspective, choosing to have the right habits. Because it's easy to sink into maybe laziness or habits that can be destructive. Whereas when we understand that we actually have control over our schedule, our habits, the routines that we are going to establish in our lives at present, that's important, right? Because if we are choosing to do things like exercise on a regular basis, if we are choosing to take care of our bodies by eating the right kinds of food and getting enough rest and getting good amounts of sunlight, then these things help us to think better and to be healthier emotionally and spiritually, even mentally. So there's a connection with the things that we can do, even physically, so that, you know, we're allowing ourselves to be able to process the crisis in a healthier way by doing our part. So that would be one way that we can do our part. Another thing that's in our control is making sure that we are listening to and filling our minds with the right stuff. And by the right...
surrounding ourselves with the right people.
Yeah, and surrounding ourselves with the right influences. For example, let's make this more concrete. If somebody's going through a crisis in their marriage and their marriage is about to fall apart, and in their heart they feel like, I want to leave my spouse because I just can't take it anymore, and this quarantine has magnified our differences. So they could be talking to one set of friends that will say, yeah, you know what?
You'll be happy. Just leave them.
just leave. Why are you putting up with that? You know, it's time to go. You've done enough, and that's it. You know, just leave. They don't deserve you. So that's one voice. And then there could be another voice that says, can you believe that God can do something in this situation and transform your spouse in a miraculous way? And you won't even be able to imagine it right now, but you'll look back someday and say, wow, I'm so glad I didn't leave and I waited for that miracle. And I did my part in the meantime, but God changed my spouse. So choosing to also control the influences, whether it's through music or media or the people in our lives, is another thing that we can participate in that is actionable, where it's not outside of our control. We can actually do something about it.
Right. So, which lends the conversation now towards the third, which is perspective. You know, I look at my wife now and I realize that as a result of what happened to her, she worked so hard to help restore her health. And I keep telling her, even before this podcast recording, I'm like, babe, you know, your body looks better than ever. And
I am so oversharing.
I'm sharing this because the reality is, and I think us Filipinos are very good at this, you know, through crisis, it's also important to have the right perspective. Sometimes just having humor can help take you through the darkest times. You know, the Bible talks about a joyful heart is good medicine. And it's so true. So, you know, you'll see Filipinos in the most tragic situations. I don't know if you saw the video circulating of this one person. I'm not sure which city anymore it was, but in this major storm, he was standing on top of one of these shanties and he was role-playing a Michael Jackson sort of, you know, being blown in the wind. Or you will see, you know, kids in the greatest and most tragic floods splashing around or heckling, and some guys passing, you know, shots of alcohol, using a floating, you know, bin, and trying to work through the calamity with humor and perspective. And this is so important that as we go through crisis and challenge, we ask ourselves, can we also control our perspective? What perspective should we take through this time? And this is where I think the rubber can meet the road, and you can help define or refine the perspective or the challenge and make it something different. You know, there is, in many different circles, you will hear people talk about this Chinese character that defines crisis. And apparently the Chinese character crisis is composed of two different pictures that depict danger and opportunity. So you may have heard this before, and as a fresh reminder to us, we can actually frame and look at even our difficult situation as not just a situation where there's danger and disaster, but also opportunity. And those that have been able to surface and rebound from the pandemic, for example, have chosen to do this. And as they've chosen to do this, many people are now rebounding and doing very well. So that if you look at even economic forecasts recently, around the time of this recording, one of the forecasts is showing that instead of the V recovery, so you dip and then you immediately go back, or the U recovery, which is a little bit slower, like the base of a U, we're now seeing what's called a K recovery. So the K would be you dip down, and as you start to rebound, the reality is there's now two different strands. I don't know if you can visualize that. One that is going up as part of the letter K, and the other that is going continually downward. And I think that as a picture, that's a great way to look at those people that have found ways to shift and look at the perspective and say, what other opportunities can we look at through this crisis? And those that have been able to do that are now able to move upward. And those that aren't are the ones who are continuing to decline. So the same thing for us. The reality is, in this challenge, in this crisis, we have a choice to also frame it with the right perspective. Are we going to look at it as just a pure disaster and there is no hope? Maybe for some, you might feel like a victim and you feel stuck because you're just a victim. The reality is you can choose to change that perspective and say, you know what? There are opportunities for us to look through this and find silver lining through this. In the American language, one of the idioms is, when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. And that is so true. We always have a choice. We always have a choice. And so the question is, what perspective are we choosing to take? Are we going to just stay in this crisis or challenge or problem? Or are we going to choose to say, actually, I can find a way through this. I can see the light. I can find a way to make this something good. And as Joy shared earlier, you know, when we frame it with biblical lenses, Romans 8:28, God causes all things. And when you look at the word all in the Greek text of the Bible, which is the original language that the New Testament was written in, where Romans is from, the original language shows the word all to mean all, which basically says that we can look at every single circumstance of our life, even the darkest moments, as something where God can use it for good. And that perspective gives us so many things, even through the difficult situations, hope, a sense of anticipation, you know. And again, these things will not make sense unless you've been able to do the other things we've already talked about, focusing on what you can control and learning the act of surrender to those you cannot. Focusing on anchors, and this is so important, like the Romans 8:28 is an anchor. It's a truth from God that we can now look into. So with these three, we want to now move quickly into the final two. And these are maybe more practical things. As we look at crisis, we want to look at the fact that we are actually not alone. And it's important to look for help. So honey, you want to talk a little bit about help?
Right. So I think a part of me, when I went through all that I did 2 years ago, actually didn't want to look for help because I felt like nobody understood what I was going through. Everybody else who was my age wasn't forced into early menopause, so how could they relate? And I felt like my world sort of became smaller. I didn't want to be around people because I was dealing with sadness. And I think that I praise God that I had my husband to talk to. At the same time, I also felt like at times he doesn't understand. He's not a woman. He hasn't gone through the same sort of loss. And you know, my husband, he's the kind of guy too who'll be like, you know what? We'll make a joke out of it or say something like, well, you can choose to have the right attitude. So part of me didn't want to listen to that, right? But I praise God because I was able to talk to my mom. And my mom actually also went through a hysterectomy some years ago. And she understood the feelings, the issues that I was dealing with, even with the hormones. So that helped a lot. And she was also able to encourage me in a positive way. And she was actually the one who reminded me, Joy, you need to choose to be thankful. And the peace and the joy doesn't come unless you choose to be thankful. And that radically changed my perspective. But there are other people also. We have people that we meet with on a regular basis, couples, other couples, and they also came alongside us to bring encouragement, just to be present through this season. So there's always people that are in your lives that you may want to think through, who are the people that I can really trust? Because I can open up to them and I may not always like what they have to say because they're going to speak the truth to me, but I know it's something I need to hear. And sometimes you will feel a resistance in you because you don't want to hear the right thing. You want to feel the feelings and kind of wallow sometimes in the emotions, because if you're angry with someone, for example, and there's unforgiveness, sometimes you feel like it feels good to feel angry because that's my way of punishing them. But we need people who will come alongside us and tell us, you know what, that feeling, that choice to be unforgiving is actually going to destroy you. So you and I, we have to choose to forgive the difficult people in our lives. So who are those people you can go to? There's churches who offer counseling. Our church, for example, Christ Commission Fellowship, or CCF, has free counseling available to people. And then there's also, we also have what are called discipleship groups, where you can be a part of a group of other people who are more or less your same age and interests.
Profile.
And you grow together.
Yeah,
you grow together.
It's good friends.
In your faith and in your knowledge of the Lord. And you share each other's crisis and you share each other's burdens. So sometimes it may not even be somebody who's going to advise you, like a psychologist or a counselor. But sometimes you just need people who are going to walk the journey with us and be there with us. So we shouldn't be afraid to look for help and really to ask God, God, give me wisdom. Who are the friends? Who are the people that I can lean on at this moment? And help me not to be full of pride, to refuse to seek out those persons and refuse to go to people whom I know can help me.
Fantastic. And so we encourage you once again, you know, as you go through challenge, realize that you are not alone. And maybe that's part of what you need to hear right now. You're not alone. So open up. As you open up to God and let Him be the one to first speak to you and speak to your circumstance, if you've never done that, this is a great time to do that. Then you open up to the people He will lead, because what we don't want, as we shared earlier, is you're surrounding yourself with the wrong influences and you get the wrong help. You know, they give you the advice that really isn't according to God's word, and that's going to lead to more problems than solutions. And that's the reality, even if in the short term it might seem like it. So finally, I think this lends itself very well, as well as we followed it. So we look at what we can control. We look at the anchors. We look at the perspective we're taking, the help. And finally, the fifth tip we wanted to share with you is to realize that there is a greater crisis. And that greater crisis is if we have not, and we've said this throughout this podcast, been able to anchor our lives on God and His truth and who He is. If we have not been able to experience Him and what He can do in our lives, it's going to be very hard to deal with any crisis on a going basis or in a way where you're able to go through it and come out better at the other side of it. You know, you can try, you can will it, you can take any other different truth, but apart from Christ or apart from Jesus and His word and God, it is very hard to really be able to, I'd even say it's impossible to have the right perspective and really come out of any crisis better, because it is only He, as we talked about, that has those different attributes and promises that we can actually cling to that will help us in any crisis that we go through.
Yeah, and I think that we want to encourage you guys that there's really only two options, right? Crisis in our lives can either make us bitter or better. And once again, when we take the spiritual perspective on this, God intends for crisis to make us better, because His plans for us are good. And if we are starting to become more bitter, if we're starting to become bitter in our minds and in our thinking and our thoughts and in our heart and even in our responses to people and responses to the situations around us, then that's an indicator that the choices we are making in response to certain crises are not positive and are not correct. And we need to recalibrate and we need to take a different approach because we're on the wrong trajectory. But if we see that maybe little by little, we are starting to become better people, we're starting to become more forgiving, more understanding, more patient, we are growing in our knowledge of the Lord, we are learning to empathize more with others, even if those are small steps and we see small amounts of progress, but it's in that direction, then we're headed in the right trajectory. And we know that the outcome of that eventually will be something definitely wonderful and good and beautiful.
Wonderful. And this is the hope we have. You know, I call this fifth point the greatest crisis, because we cannot give what we do not have. The reason why Joy was able to bounce back is because she received that, and she's now able to help others who are going through challenges as well. And as a family, we cannot help our children who might go through crisis if we do not have anything to give them, right? And this is what is wonderfully comforting, and we pray you're able to also embrace that Jesus and the Lord is really the only hope we have. And if we have that anchor, we have something to not just draw from, but also to give others in their own crisis and challenge. So we hope this has been helpful for you guys. Again, you know, as we look at our family lives or as our lives as individuals, we want to be able to look at how do we deal with crisis. And we've looked at control, we've looked at anchors, we've looked at perspective, help, and the greatest crisis and how to help resolve that. So thanks again for joining us. Catch us in another episode of Family Unboxed. In the meantime, this has been brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. See you guys in the next podcast.
See you all.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.